Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast, and welcome to episode 4. If you haven't already, check out last week, episode 3, where we went through the top 5 girls from each Vic Metro club. And this week, we turn our attention to the country, and we're going to look at the top 5 girls from each Vic country club. Pretty exciting, Jonty. The country region is growing and growing as the years go on, and that's with the Female Pathway program in general. And we'll start at the top with Bendigo. And Lucia Painter, quite a prospect for the Pioneers.
Yeah, absolutely. She's one that excited several rival Coates Talent League coaches at the Vic Country Summer Training Hub last year as a bottom major. Now coming into her top age year, I think there's a lot of excitement about what she's going to be able to produce in 2024. Now, she is recovering from an ankle injury. I know she's one that you've watched a fair bit of. She's an explosive mid and she's really dynamic. So what she produces in 2024 will be an intriguing watch because she has already been exposed across 3 seasons for the Pioneers. So that's a lot more exposure than some of these other girls have had. So one to keep a real close eye on and is one who hopefully we get to see early in the season.
I'd argue she's one of the best meters gained players in the competition. She's incredibly fit, and although she is battling a bit of an injury now, she will get her football back into action as the season goes on. She's just got clear goals and a holistic approach to her football. She's got the ability to have that mid-forward rotation and show her potency inside 50. A lot to love with her, and I think she showed that last year already, that it doesn't actually take a lot for her to impact the game.
Averaging 24 disposals and 8 tackles in her 8 games last year. So that's a pretty good stats line. Jamaica Douglas, another one that you've been keen on for a little while. She's from Mildura, so obviously very difficult when you're from Mildura, the far northwest point of Victoria, and she made, you know, some big commitments last year to come down to Melbourne to play some regular footy. She's an Indigenous Richmond Next Generation Academy prospect, spent some time over the summer training with the Tigers, but she has now moved down to Bendigo having finished her schooling, which will give her the best opportunity possible to pursue that pathway. And she's the first female in the Bendigo Pioneers region to be relocated to pursue her goals in the sport.
Well, she's certainly committed, and like you said, yeah, she moved down to Bendigo this year. She battled a knee injury at the end of 2023, but really come back fit and firing, one that has just set her goals and has met them so far in this preseason. She's got the ability to play through that midfield role. She sort of started her football off that halfback in 2023, but a lot of scope with her. I think her football will build really, really nicely. She'll hopefully get into that Vic Country team this year and build a really nice base of football, so quite a lot to love with her.
Absolutely. Gabby Drage, another one who there's a bit of excitement in the region about. She's a midfielder forward, she's a big body, and she's pretty good in traffic.
Well, there's a great story with her. I mean, she came from community football to the Pios, played 2 games for the Pios, and then trialled for Vic Country. So a great story there. She didn't make the Vic Country squad in the end, but to just that rise from community football all the way to state football, really big. She's got X factor and she's dangerous in front of goals. Some similar comparisons to Charlie Rowbottom at the Gold Coast Suns in the AFLW. So definitely one to keep an eye on that will build her football quite nicely. So a lot of good things heard about her at this point in time.
One thing that the Bendigo Pioneers region does have on a girl's point of view this season is a good depth when it comes to height. And I think one of those players is Lexi Greger. She's got that size about her, which is something which is going to, I guess, hold her in really good stead. She's a developing forward that could even move into the midfield and become that sort of big-bodied mid. Obviously, we talk about it with Gabby Drage. But her professionalism and resilience, both from a training point of view and then also seeing it on match day, is something which I guess has really impressed a lot of people. And yeah, she's already had to overcome some setbacks, but has been exposed across the last couple of years.
Well, she was part of the Vic Country Hub this year. And like you said, with that lower back injury, you talk about commitment generally around this club, and these girls haven't. I mean, she was traveling from Echuca to Bendigo twice a week to do her physio. Great in the air, competitive at ground level. Big kick as well. So, yeah, one that has certainly not got a lot of exposure as of yet, but I think as time goes on, she definitely will continue to get a lot of exposure.
And then I guess to round out the Bendigo region, you've got Sasha Pierce, who has played some really good footy across the last couple of years. Another one who's got some good size to her, and having said that, she is very good below her knees, so she's very polished, a well-balanced player.
She trialled for Vic Country in 2023, so got a bit of exposure in that. But yeah, she covers the ground really well as well, has the capacity to play up forward or down back. good athletics background as well. So her aerobic capacity is up there with some of the best girls in the league.
And if you're going to talk about an athletics background, it would be remiss not to just touch on Eliza Coutts. Just put her name on the radar a little bit. So she's got some athleticism, some speed and power. We'll just wait and see what becomes of her, but certainly she's got the, I guess, that prototype athleticism to succeed. Hopefully she's able to produce it on a regular basis for Bendigo this season, but we'll just name check her early in the season. We'll move on to the Dandenong Stingrays now. We know how strong that region is, and they played some really good footy, particularly towards the back end of 2023, and they did that with a lot of bottom ages in their squad, and I think none were better than Ali Simons, the powerful ruck who I spoke about a lot last year in the podcast. I think if you go back to those episodes, I spoke about her almost on a weekly basis, but she was the Vic Country Ruck last year and took it up to Jess Vukic when she played her. Obviously, we know Jess Vukic got drafted, but if you look at the rucks in last year's Coates League, it's probably only Jess Vukic that you could confidently say was better than Ali Simons, who averaged 17 hitouts and 18 disposals in 2023, which speaks not only to her ability to win taps, but also get involved as that fourth midfielder around the ground. She's confident enough to take it straight out of the ruck and then burst away from stoppage. What a player.
Well, you put her on the map very early last year, to your credit. It was when that game against Oakley, and that was I still say that was one of the best female games I've ever seen. That was terrific standard, that. And yeah, she is quite powerful, very dominant, and I think she'll only continue to get more dominant, which is scary for the rest of the league. If you're coming up against her in the ruck, but just around stoppages, you do worry. You do worry. She's a powerful figure. And she knows how to win her own footy. So very exciting. And with so much opportunity last year as well, it can only benefit her moving into 24.
And someone else who got a lot of opportunity and will also play in the ruck at times for Dandenong in 2024 is Zoe Basanko, a key position player, played in that under-17s All-Stars game out at Frankston last year. Another one who's really good overhead, so her hands are really good. And, yeah, really good athletically as well. So we talk about Ali Simons' power. You look at Zoe Basanko, she's got that speed, she's got that athleticism, and that's something which is going to hold her in really good stead. And I think when she does go into the ruck, one thing you really notice is not only does she win her hitouts, but she puts them in really good spots for her midfielders. So I think the likes of Gemma Reynolds, who we'll touch on in a second, and those sorts are going to really benefit when she goes into the middle.
They're very crafty, these Stingrays girls. They definitely know their fundamentals very well when it comes to just generally on the field. You see that in the way they play, and it's, and they're eye-catching, these girls. And they'll be exciting this year, the Stingrays, and I reckon they have to be the most unlucky club in the talent league in terms of they should have won a premiership by now, and they definitely deserve to with the talent they produce each year. But yeah, I'd have to mirror your thoughts with Zoe Basanko. She's eye-catching with that. It's her speed and just that ability to break through the midfield. She knows how to do it really well. But let you leave with Gemma Reynolds, who you just touched on, who is a byproduct of that good work from Zoe Basanko.
Yeah, and she'll take on more responsibility in the midfield this season. So she's been that sort of forward midfielder throughout 2023 and did that role really well. I think her cleanliness was something which really set her apart. She was really poised with the football, and I think that came off the back of the fact she had that little bit of extra time because she was so clean below her knees. But I think she'll really headline that midfield. So really looking forward to seeing what we get from her. I think up forward as well, she's the sort of player that not only knows how to hit the scoreboard, but sets teammates up as well. So I expect her to wax really well with Zoe Basanko.
Jemiah Bresson, prototype winner, and probably got a lot of good experience last year off Ruby Murdoch on that win as well. Tell me a bit about her in terms of where's the scope with her football going to lead her in 2024.
Yeah, well, I think she's one that her best foot, like I think at least she'll get a Vic Country trial, because she's one who, like you say, is that prototype winger, understands that role so well, runs really well in transition, sets the ball up and helps Dandenong maintain their shape really well. She can get forward, she can kick it inside 50 really impressively. And she did have a couple of games last season where she racked up 25 plus touches. I think back to one game in particular where she got 31 touches. Now we know sometimes on the wing you can get a little bit lost or you know, your involvement in the game can be a bit sporadic, but she's the one who does find a way to stay involved, get herself into really good spots, and that comes down to how good her aerobic capacity is. So she's one I'm really looking forward to watching in 2024. Probably flew under the radar of some of her higher profile teammates in 2023.
The last one I want to bring up, Kayla Dalgleish, who so exciting. And one that completely took me by surprise the first time. I think it was Dandenong when they played Eastern around the middle of the year, and she's got some excitement about her. She's very unassuming, though. When you watch her, you don't think you're going to get so much punch from her, but she knows how to do it. She's quick. She's got a great kick, and she impacts the scoreboard. There's a lot to like about her, and I think her size offers a lot of versatility in her football as well.
Yeah, I think that's a really good summary, and you talk about the way that she does use the footy. She can kick it off both feet, and I think that's a real point of difference for her as well, and she gets inside to outside the contest really well. So often she'll win a contested ball, and then she's evasive enough to elude the tacklers and then, like you say, get it onto her boot and find a teammate.
Move to the Geelong Falcons, who have a pretty good roster of top-age talent this year, and they did make it to the preliminary final last year. So they run very deep, but we obviously have to start at the top, and there's only one girl to talk about, Sarah Howley. Schnutz, one of those natural footballers, and we're getting them so often now with the girls that they grow up on a football diet, and she's one who has done that average about, 50 touches a game or whatever it was, to the point it was just nuts.
Yep.
I guess here's a question for you. Where do you see her football growing? Because she's pretty well refined already.
I wonder whether her kicking could just go to that next level. Because to me, when I think of Sarah Howley, my immediate thoughts are the amount of contests that she gets to are ridiculous. So that's why she's able to get so much of the footy. Her aerobic capacity really sets her apart. She's got really quick hands as well, and she's really clean below her knees. But I don't necessarily immediately think, geez, she's a really, really good kick like I do with some other girls in the competition. Now, I wouldn't go as far as to call it a weakness. You don't become a top five prospect in the girls' competition by accident. But I guess if there was one area where she could strengthen to the point where she'd be almost the complete player, it would probably be her kicking. So, yeah, having said that, she won the girls' league best and fairest as a bottom major. So that probably speaks to her all-round class, averaging 32 disposals in the league, second behind only Chloe Baker-West, and 5 tackles. So she's got that defensive presence as well.
100%. And she was doing it at Vic Country level as well. Like, this was translated in every level of football she was playing. So
gotten stronger throughout preseason as well, physically.
So, look, her football will just continue to grow. Exciting to see where it leads her as well. So a lot to like with Sarah. We'll move to Mika Morrissey, who, in similar vein, two quite talented footballers who just understand their craft really well. And we know Mika on the win, loves to run, doesn't panic too often, but just a good transition player.
And
nails her role and her fundamentals really well, and it shows.
Yeah, and I think I was very surprised she didn't play in that under-17s All-Stars game out at Frankston. I see her as comfortably being in the top echelon of players this season. Now, I know the standard this season is very high, but I think back to some of the things I saw, and, only saw limited things from that game in WA because the streaming was cutting in and out a little bit. But she was very good by all reports on a really big ground, so that speaks to how good her tank is. And she uses the footy really well as well, like you say, really good transition, able to get back but then able to get forward as well and kick it inside 50. So she's one that's hard to track down, and we'll keep a close eye on in 2024. Kiara Woods is one who I think a little bit out of sight, out of mind in 2023, unfortunately, just due to an ankle injury. She played the first 4 rounds, where I think in combination with Hayley Peck, who will come back to the Geelong Falcons as a 19-year-old this year, we're hearing, so they'll rekindle that relationship in the ruck. She was really, really damaging. She's athletic around the ground, good below her knees, is a smooth mover, and wins hitouts as well. Was really good at 16s level, but then just had an injury that just kept going and going, and in the end it ruled her out of the rest of the season. But I think with a full season under her belt this year, I don't see why she doesn't get drafted. She's got so many good traits.
Well, she's tall as well.
She's very tall.
We met her a couple of weeks ago, and for reference, I'm 187, and she was easily my height. So she's got to be one of the tallest girls in the talent league. So pretty exciting.
Yeah, certainly one that's exciting. Another one that's really exciting is Rebecca Cloddy. Came onto the scene a little bit late last season, didn't didn't debut until round 17, but she made the Vic Country squad. She was probably something of a bolter to those outside of the Geelong Falcons region, but they're very excited about what she is able to produce. She was excellent in the Vic Country diversity game last year, probably where she made a name for herself a little bit externally. She's explosive, she's exciting, she's raw, still a lot of development left, but one to put on the map early. Certainly those in the talent pathway system are excited by what they see.
Still a few others for Geelong, I think, worth, we have to note them because there is a lot of talent and they do run quite deep this year. Sasha White, dangerous small forward and has the capacity to play through the midfield. Great defensively, so a lot to like there with her.
Yep, certainly. Caitlin Charles is another one who's very crafty. Lucy Marishook, a lot of excitement about her speed as well. She can play in wing, she can play inside 50, and she's got a really good aerobic capacity. And then Chloe Bryant, probably one who was overshadowed a little bit by some of the bigger names in the team last year, Chloe Adams and Sarah Howley, of course, but I think through the midfield this season is where she can really show what she's capable of. She hits targets seamlessly and plays to structure really well.
Move to the Gippsland Power now, who have another top five prospect.
Top three prospect.
Top three, yeah. And I 100% she could be potential number one. That's how good she is. And you even hear around from the other girls, and I'm going to bring this story up. I think I said it last year. It was when we were at an Oakley game when they played Bendigo and Lila Keck wasn't playing, but she was talking to an assistant and couldn't help over here. She's talking about Ash Sencher and she's like, she's a freak. She's an absolute freak, yeah. Ash. And that, and as funny as that was, it's so true.
Yeah.
She really is.
Yeah, it's a perfect summary. She plays across all three lines. She's explosive. She uses it well. You watch her play footy, it's like she's playing chess and everyone else is playing checkers. She's playing a different game to everyone else. Her contested marking is that far above her counterparts. It's ridiculous. So I think back to the under-17s game where she was playing against the best in the country. That's obviously the big litmus test for players like that. Can they do it against the very best? And she absolutely tore the first half apart. Now, she didn't win the best on ground medal. That went to Sophie Mackay, but she could quite easily have won it because of how good she was just in that first half. She then goes back to local and dominates for Sale City, gets best on ground in their grand final. So wherever she's playing, she's dominating. And yeah, I think Gippsland threw her down back a little bit last season to give her a bit of exposure in a different position. She dominated there, was able to provide offensive drive in the midfield. Obviously, she's strong, wins clearances, powerful, and up forward, she takes marks and kicks goals.
Proper excitement machine and star quality. She has it. She's got it. So very exciting one to watch. Tell me a bit more about Jasmine Soden, because saw a little bit of her and a good bit of how she can play, you know, during 2023, got a lot of games as a bottom major. Hard, provides pressure.
Yep.
What's there to like about her, and where's her football going to advance as the year goes on?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because she did get that one game for Vic Country in the national championships last year. So she's one who is already on the map and has been for some time. But I think for her, it's going to be a matter of just building on that form that she showed, particularly towards the back end of 2023. I think she really lifted towards the back end of 2023 and was, you know, clearly, you know, a prospect that was on the map. She's from a family of nine out in Buchan. So I think that talks to how big a commitment she has to make being from Buchan to Morwell. If people know that area of the world quite well, they know how far away Buchan is. From a family of nine, her older sister Taylor is going to be in the Gippsland program again. She come back as a 19-year-old, so they played alongside each other last year. But she's just a hard worker, like you say, gets to a lot of contests, wins clearances. And when she doesn't win clearances, she's still there or thereabouts laying tackles. So she's one who, if she doesn't get first hands on the ball, then you don't want to get in her way because she will tackle you.
Another one that we heard very good things about as the year went on was Sienna Lane as that rolling half-back defender, and she was quite good. She's one that really improved her football well, one that was quite loved down in the Gippsland region.
Yeah, she was, and she's a cool head as well. And now Gippsland, particularly that first month of last season before they brought their futures in, and their 2007-born players who we'll talk about throughout 2024 are really well-regarded in the Gippsland region. They then came in and made the Power a lot more competitive. But that first month, it was a bit of a struggle, and Sienna Lane was one who resisted a lot of forward half forays for opposition teams down there and did so with aplomb. I thought she was really, really important, really confident as well, and is really good in tight tight spaces, doesn't panic. So she's one who wouldn't be surprised if we see her take on a bit more of a midfield role in 2024 and show her skills there, because she's a real prime mover. And yeah, I do like what she provides, both character, work ethic, and with her skills.
Tell me a bit more about sort of the under-the-radar side of Gippsland and who else is going to kind of come up as 2024 progresses.
Yeah, there's a few. So those are the top three. You know, you'd say Centre and Soden clearly the top two, and then Lane below her, and then it's pretty even after that. So you've got Elena Domagala, got some exposure last season, has played some really good local footy. Sophie Scalzo is a really naturally talented forward, another one who played some good footy last season, and then others like Zari Byrne, Lily Layton, and some new players to the program in 2024 that we'll just have to wait and see on. But I think they're going to play a lot of 2007-born talent, even 2008-born talent when they're allowed to, obviously, and they'll be a region that will continue to develop year on year.
Move to the GWV Rebels, and one girl that definitely just flew out of the gates in 2023 as a bottom major, and every game we went to watch, she just stood out.
Yeah.
Well, Millie Lane, she's been terrific. She deserves the AFLW Academy call-up that she got, because her football proves she is elite at that role, and she understands where she needs to be. Still a long way to go with her football as well, which is scary to think. Just has terrific vision. A player that knows where to move the football down the ground. She led the league for rebound 50s last year, which was... Looking at her sets, I was like, that has to be a league leader. And she was. She averaged 7.6. Her challenge this year, building on those one-on-one battles and continuing to build her contested game. So I'm sure you mirror the same thoughts, but she's terrific. I think she'll be one of the best defenders in the league.
Yeah, her intercepting is off the charts to me. I think back to a game that I watched out at the Oval next to Mar Stadium, so out at Ballarat. It was a really cold night, miserable night, rain falling against the Geelong Falcons. And there were a couple of marks that she took, and you just thought she should not be taking that mark one-handed, just taking a pluck when everyone else was playing wet weather footy. It looked like she was playing dry weather footy. So she's really good overhead. Like you say, interested to see how she develops in terms of one-on-one, because we know when she peels off, reads the play beautifully and is able to take those marks. But one-on-one, I enjoyed the battle between her and Sophie Butterworth late in the season. I reckon that was the last game GWV would have played, because Dandenong did beat them in the final series. And that was an intriguing one and would have been a good learning curve for her. But she did certainly hold her own. But I'd love to see her shut down some key forwards this season. That's probably the next step to her game, I would suggest, because we know how good she is intercepting. And she racks up possessions as well. Like you say, she's one that you want the ball in her hands coming out of defensive 50, because she uses it really well. Claire Marnie, another one who got exposure in that under-17s All-Stars game out at Frankston, averaged a team-high 4.9 marks per game in 2023. It surprised me that she averaged more marks than Millie Lane, because Millie Lane I think of as that aerialist, but she's one that uses her frame to her advantage and clunks the ball at its highest point.
She's a bit of a utility as well. She has the capacity to go up forward and hit the scoreboard. Her run and jump of the footy is just very, very good.
Yep.
So I think an exciting prospect in the sense that there is no real limit on where a football can be played. A lot to like. She's got the assets to play across the ground, so excited to see where football takes her next.
Yeah, certainly. Scarlett O'Donnell is one that's been put on the radar by the Rebels in pre-season this year. Now, she played an excellent season last year locally for South Warrnambool. She won the league best and fairest, and she's also a very gifted netballer, a gifted cricketer, so she's an all-round sports talent. We know how highly they're regarded in the talent pathway system for all sports, particularly for footy. And when you talk about that, you talk about athletes who are strong and powerful, and she's all of that. She's building her fitness, so expect to see her thrown around a little bit, build her sort of game awareness and her footy IQ. But certainly she's one that I expect will adapt to the level pretty easily, because when you're winning league best and fairests for South Warrnambool, I think she's one that could slot seamlessly into this GWV lineup. Has a lot of confidence as well.
Exciting to see where her football takes her. Elise Cook, one that her natural ability could be definitely up there with some of the best in the squad. Built her fitness really well over the preseason as well. So an exciting exciting foundation for her as 2024 continues on.
And she played a lot of mid last year, but like you say, she has built that aerobic capacity even more, so that could allow her to get to more contests, play a bit more in the mid, continue to build that consistency. Now she can also go down back as well. So she's one to keep a close eye on. Bella Davies, I really enjoyed watching last year. Probably put herself on the map with a 36 disposal game late in the year against the Western Jets after what had been a great season. That really capped it off, I felt like, and she's a really polished ball winner. I think every time she gets the ball, she seems to sort of do something with it, and she has gotten considerably stronger and improved her running ability over preseason. And then Brooke Ward, what's she going to do? She's one that did an ACL injury, unfortunately, in 2023, but had shown positive signs in the early part of the season. She's finished school now, so she'll be able to commit a bit more to footy, and hopefully her form at the back end of the season once she returns from injury holds her in really good stead in the midfield.
100%. One that excited to see how she does return, and hopefully it's a slow return in terms of no pressure and just building back from her injury really nicely. But has some, you know, eye-catching moves the way she moves through the midfield. Excited to see the way if she's going to push forward a little bit and present a bit more up forward, and just excited because she'll be one that she'll come back a little unexpected with her injury, and she could blow a lot of people away. So excited to see.
She absolutely could. She certainly could. Looking forward to seeing what happens in June, July. Murray, there's a bit of talent there, probably a little bit of a region like the Bendigo Pioneers struggled a bit last season on the scoreboard, but still lots coming through, and particularly in the Allies region of the Murray Bush Rangers. I think there's a lot to be excited about, headed by Tamika Rourke. Now, she's an exciting midfielder forward. In her six games last year, she averaged 18 touches. And I think last year she was clearly more confident than the games she played in 2022, obviously a bottom major rather than a double bottom major. Hopefully that natural progression continues. She's a powerful player. She's a clearance winner. She's someone who's explosive. She's someone who's exciting.
Excited to see where her football takes her, and being part of that Allies region, it's building very nicely up there. And we saw with the boys last year, took out their first championships, and I'm sure the girls program is thriving as well. So excited to see where that powerful style of football will progress her through the year, and exciting that Murray have such a prospect. I'll touch now on Holly Egan, who one that builds off confidence really, really well. And one as well, when you look at tactically just off the field, loves to analyse her game vision, which I think is quite important as a player to know how to play football. Watch from that sounds stupid, but how to play football in a tactical sense. And that's really important sometimes. And I think especially in the female game where it's still being developed quite a lot, to have that edge, it definitely does show on the field.
She's had an excellent preseason. She's improved her fitness. She's improved her strength. So we know what she can do as an interceptor, averaged 15 touches in 11 games last season. I'd hazard a guess that at least half of those possessions per game would be intercepts, because it does feel like every time she's getting the ball, she's causing a turnover from the opposition. But she's one that could go to another level in 2024. Madison Ibrahim is one who's determined. She's grown quickly. She ran a PB in a 2K time trial in the preseason this year. So another one who's come back in ripping shape and has that defensive presence as well. So looking forward to seeing what we get from her in 2024.
Yeah, had a really good preseason, a resilient character, and one that got a good share of game time in 2023. So I think a lot of these Murray girls have the capacity to play very high standards, given they've had a good bit of time in the system so far. So quite excited to see what happens with these girls. And Ellie Armstrong, good midfielder, plays well through the middle of the ground. And what can you tell us about her that's going to stand out as the season goes on?
Yeah, she's from Shepparton, so she averages only the 10 touches per game, which is probably something she'll look to build on in 2024, getting her hands on the ball a little bit more and showing what she can do. She averages 6 tackles, and that speaks to how hard she goes at it. She's really tenacious. She's strong, she's competitive, and she's one who is a really important role player in that midfield, so that when teams do get on top, she's one who is really resilient in staying in the contest, but certainly also when the ball's inside 50 or around the ground, she can cause repeat stoppages and that sort of thing with what she's able to do.
And probably the final one to touch on from Murray, Ali Hall, returning from an ACL, so she'll be back probably a bit later in the season, but what should we expect from her when she does make her return?
Yeah, well, I think she'll be okay to go for round one. I certainly hope so, because she's one that they're really excited about what she can produce, and she has had a really good preseason. But she's got some size about her as well, and she did play as a double bottom major, so it's not like she missed all of last season with the ACL. She's completely underexposed. She did actually get to show what she could do in 2022. And what that was just how good she was in tight, her contested craft, her stoppage craft, the way she sets up. So I think she's one to keep a really good eye on. She's got a good aerobic capacity as well.
And the final team to move to is Tassie, and quite exciting this year with Tassie. They had built up a really good list of bottom age talent as the end of 2023 went on, and they're another one who they could have gone further in the season. They had a terrific 2023, the way they played. And we'll start from the top with Mackenzie Williams, who a really super classy rebound defender.
Yeah, already an established member of that Allies lineup. There we go again, talking about the Allies. But she's strong and she's aggressive. And she's also got a really long kick, so that's something which is really good. She can gain metres. She takes grass as well when she has the opportunity to, averaging a team high in 2023, 18.9 touches per game. And she is the sort of player that, yeah, you want the footy in her hands, because she does provide that dash and has got that good decision-making. Now, her 4.8 rebound 50s as well per game puts her in the top handful in the league, and she does put her head over the ball. She's courageous. I think she's one who goes in the top 10 if the draft is held tomorrow.
But we learned with the girls draft last year, geez, that the order players went was just nuts.
Yeah,
so
yep.
Definitely top 10 in terms of your power rankings at this stage.
Perhaps that's a better way of putting it.
We've now learned that clubs will take exactly what they need. So no, exciting to see where her football takes her. Move to Sophie Strong now, who phenomenal speed and a really, really terrific work ethic as well. Will play that high half forward role and knows also how to impact the stoppage really well.
Yeah, I think that's a really good summary. Now, she's one who I'm really excited to see in 2024. I couldn't believe she initially had missed out, probably along the similar lines to Mika Morrissey, initially missed out on that under-17s All-Stars game in Frankston. She was a late call-up for someone who had to pull out late, and she really seized that opportunity. I thought she was really, really good in that game. She was powerful and played with a lot of confidence and has that athleticism as well. So I think her footy has the potential to continue to grow this season, just with that confidence and those attributes that we both touch on there that she has got.
Lucy Thompson, strong hands from that northwest region in Tasmania. Just a confident player that is strong through the midfield and yeah, good inside.
Yeah, certainly. And she stands up in tackles as well. So, yeah, we love that about players. So she's one who, yeah, moves through traffic really well, doesn't panic under pressure, and is from that northwest region as well, which is always really good to see the good spread of talent in Tasmania. Obviously, Launceston and Hobart, naturally really talented areas, but she's from the northwest region, played alongside her cousin in the program last season as well. So she's one who hopefully does get drafted, but certainly will play some strong footy in the Coates Talent League in 2024.
Probably my favourite Tasmanian prospect this year, and one that straight away just caught my eye back when they played at Arden Street the start of the year, was Ava Reid, yep, who, again, a really unassuming player for her size. She's pretty lean in terms of her build. Like, she's a key forward, but arguably plays way under her size. She's just got such strong hands, but really knows how to impact the scoreboard. She was kicking bags last year, and I say bags, you know, games kicking 2, 3, 4, but on a consistent basis, and one that was so reliable. Also provides really good burst out of stoppage as well. So when the ball is kind of stuck inside 50, she reads the play very well. So she's not kind of dependent on that inside 50 entry to get on the end of one and take a contested mark. She's just ready to get her own ball as well. So one that I'm very excited to see how her football builds, because I think she was arguably one of Tassie's best players last year.
And with what you touch on, she'd be an absolute nightmare to match up on, because she's got so many avenues to attack and hit the scoreboard. She kicked 20 goals last year, so like you say, she does have the ability to kick bags, and kicked 4 in their elimination final loss. So finished the season off really, really well, and that will give her a good platform to build into next season. And then the last one is Meg Harrison. Probably could have touched on her a little bit earlier. She's one that is really talented. And she's got a late birthday as well, so that always advantages players. She doesn't turn 18 until November, I believe. She's one who'll play on the wing this season. She'll play a little bit in defence, but her game sense is what's really good, and that's really important in wingers. They need to be able to understand that naturally, know when they have to hold their shape, etc., and when they're going to get their hands on the ball and how they can impact the contest. Her decisions are really good. And I also think something which we often don't talk about when it comes to midfielders, wingers, but we talk about a lot when it comes to forwards and backs is aerially. And she's one that, yeah, playing between the arcs, she's really courageous overhead. So keep an eye on her as well for 2024.
Yeah, she capitalises on her opportunities quite a lot. Just one that has really good power as well. And
yeah.
That's shown in her leg speed, and her entry kicks inside 50 as well was something that stood out to me in 2023. Sorry.
Yep.
And that wraps it up for the Vic Country Top 5 at each club. Stay tuned next week because we haven't discussed any 19-year-olds that are staying on. So we will 100%, that'll be next week's episode. And as well as players from 2023, if you're interested in a player that might not have been drafted to the AFL or the AFLW, trust me, there are a lot that have landed at a VFL or VFLW club. So we're going to go and run through those players for you, give a bit of a description of who's kind of landed where and what they offer, because not all these players are done in terms of giving up their dreams. So there's still a lot to give for a lot of these players. So exciting to talk about that next week. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Check out our socials for a lot of fun content and a lot of great and new content coming soon. If you want to hear a few more clips from these podcasts, head over to our socials. Thank you all for watching. Stay tuned for next week, and we will see you in the next episode.